Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. And we are presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. They are the best. Accountability results. That's what you get from EMP180weightloss.com. Of course, several years ago, every week we would talk to the manager of the Washington Nationals, who was Davey Johnson, and he was one of our favorites. And we played that song before he joined us each and every week. And it always kind of brought a smile to our faces. Davey, it's great to hear from you again.
Yeah, it's great to hear that song again. You know, it's nice to talk to you guys. Fun time I had.
And Davey has a book out right now called Davey Johnson, My Wild Ride in Baseball and Beyond. And just kind of perusing it, it's pretty chronological. And towards the end of the book, you end with your time with the Washington Nationals, and you write about it briefly. You were not a guy who wanted Steven Strasburg to be shut down before the postseason.
No, I certainly didn't. You know, I did it with Zimmerman the year before, but I always, you know, I grew up with some great pitching coaches and a great throwing coach in Aparicio. And, you know, I learned that the more you throw, the better your arm is. And the fact is, I knew pitchers like to throw every other day off the mound in spring training. But I had him throwing 15 minutes, everybody 15 minutes a day. And the more you threw, the better you felt. Mm-hmm. And so shutting a guy down just because he threw a number of pitches, I just didn't quite compute it.
Right. What do you make of all of the guys now going through the Tommy John surgeries? I mean, the success rate is pretty incredible. But yet so many guys are having this issue. Do you buy into the idea that the mechanics are flawed, that the way these guys are taught these days, or are you more old school and feel like they're babied too much and maybe alluding to what you said, and they're not throwing enough and that's causing the issue?
Well, I know, the first pitching coach that I had when I was on the Orioles was a guy named Harry the Cat Burkine, and he babied the pitchers. He would clean off their cleats during a game, and then he didn't want them to throw the next day.
Right.
And he babied them all the way, and all of those pitchers went down injured.
Right.
Bamberger, on the other hand, believes everybody should throw 15 minutes a day for 10 months out of the year.
Right.
And as long as they were on a pitch, pitching off the mound, you know, like every other day, there was no problem. And, you know, we had 420-game winners. But now everybody's got so scientific, they believe more in babying the ball, number of pitches and all that stuff. Hey, the more you throw, the stronger your arm's going to be. And not this long throwing, just 60 feet, 70 feet, and 15 minutes a day, just trying to hit the guy in the chest. That's all you need.
Now, Davey, of course, managed the Mets, won a championship there, the Reds, the Orioles, the Nationals.
Dodgers.
The Dodgers. God. But they talk about in the book that at least with the Mets, the Reds, and the Orioles, even though you won championships there, you know, your league championships there, you kind of left like not on your terms, and that still baffles you to this day, huh?
Yeah, I guess it was my personality, guys. I don't know. You know, you hire a manager to, you know, take care of your players and get the best out of them. And a lot of times, you know, when I had a meeting with a general manager, I would be very honest, and they may not agree with me, but my job was to be honest for the main guy ahead of me, and sometimes it didn't sit well with them.
Hey, you're a guy who is a mathematician. We always found that intriguing. What do you make of kind of the move now in baseball where you have guys, traditional power hitters, sometimes lead off? The Nationals did that a little bit with Bryce Harper earlier this season.
Well, if they're mathematicians, they should know one thing. If you hit the guy with the highest on-base percentage first and follow that way down the line, more guys will come to the plate and you have more chance to score runs. But they're screwing that all around. They you know, I mean, don't get me started on this Cyber Grace Day, because basically what I'll tell you is you put garbage in a computer and you get garbage back out.
So are you still consulted to this day with any clubs, or are you completely on the outside?
Oh, I'm completely on the outside. Not really. I watch the games all the time. You know, my favorite team, obviously, is the Nationals. I think the World of Learners and Rizzo. Mm-hmm. And also Martinez went to school right around the corner here. So it's like looking back on my family members.
It is. I was wondering, do you look back fondly on your time there? I mean, obviously you and Rizzo were tight, but I remember, you know, God, we'd love to have you on the radio every week because you didn't care. You'd say what you want in World Series or bust, whatever. I mean, you're just like the perfect radio guest. Did you want to leave? Did you leave the Nats on your terms?
Oh, sure. I mean, I didn't expect to be there in 2011 or 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. I was just filling in. And, you know, a manager never has the right to say how long he wants to be there or whatever. You know, I knew I was on borrowed time the minute I got there, just like I was on every other job I ever had.
Right.
But it's no big deal to me. The one thing I always loved about the radio, in whether it was in New York or whatever, you listen to all the comments about what's going on. Then on the radio, you can explain how dumb they are because they don't know what all the things that went on in making the decision.
David,
so it was fun.
Did you feel like Dusty was showing the door prematurely here in D.C.?
Yeah, well, I love Dusty. You know, he and I were teammates with Henry Aaron in Atlanta, and I go way back with Dusty. And I fished in all his golf tournaments, fishing tournaments over in the Caymans, and I always won them. They were fly fishing contests for bonefish. And I usually win them hands down, 50 fish in 2 days, and that was no problem. So I love everything about Dusty. Now, you know, but, you know, I mean, I thought a lot of times I got fired, and they shouldn't have fired me, but that's the way it goes.
By the way, what are you better at, fishing or golf?
Ooh, good question.
Well, you know, I'm really a good fisherman, but now my wife wants me to take her all the time, and I'm the delegated cameraman. I have to take pictures of her catching fish, and that's my duty now, which is fun because I love to be on the water fishing, and whether I catch anything or not, but it's fun to see my wife fish.
Now, you got the book out, My Wild Ride in Baseball and Beyond, as we talked to Davey Johnson. You also write about your playing days. It's an amazing career, obviously. You won World Series and things like that. You also played with Hank Aaron. I don't know that a lot of people remember that. Talk about what it was like playing with Hank Aaron.
Well, he was great. I lockered right next to him, and, you know, he was fun. I love watching him take BP. I love watching everything he did, and I didn't miss a minute of his playing time. Just great gentleman. Should have got more credit for breaking Ruth's record. And of course, you know, they loved me so much there, they sold me to Japan. I went over there and hit behind Sarhara O when he broke Ruth's record. So a lot of trivia questions and answers in the book.
Mm. You know, you say you still follow the Nats, and I know you're a huge Bryce guy. As we've watched him sort of blossom into a superstar, you know, I don't know. Has he fulfilled all of his promise? I mean, or where are you with Bryce and his development? What would you like to see him improve on? That sort of thing.
Well, you know, I mean, he just needs to stay aggressive at the plate and hit balls in his zone. They're going to come in his zone, even though they try to pitch around him all the time. Eventually, they'll give him a ball in his zone, and he'll whack it. So I think he's going to be fine. And, you know, I think, you know, I was asked who's going to win the pennants and be in the World Series, and my pick with the Yankees and the Nationals.
Hmm. And what about the Nationals now at this point with all the injuries and everything? I mean, every team gets injured, but they certainly – I think we had Rizzo on yesterday and said they've missed the second most man games of anybody in baseball so far, and they're hanging in there.
Well, I just think it's a tribute to the job Rizzo's done and in the minor league system, because you've seen a lot of great young players come up and succeed on the major league level in a very short time. So I think that's good for the pitching staff and also good for young players. So they're just going to be have tremendous talent there for a long time.
In the book, you write about your years with the Orioles, but you also write about, I think, an interview that you did with the Orioles where you were trying to kind of figure out what your role was going to be beyond managing and what you would have done there, because they had Roland Heeman, they had Frank Robinson. Can you kind of give us a story of that talk there with Frank Robinson before you had to make a decision?
Well, I was basically hurt. I ran over a couple catchers, Dwayne Josephson in Boston and Dwayne Josephson in Baltimore. and my shoulder was messed up, and Weaver kept playing me, and I knew that, you know, I was banged up, and they didn't know how to, the x-ray didn't show it was subluxation, and I had the last half of 71, I think it was, and then in 72 were terrible, and I told them, trade me out of here, go to the National League, I think I'm washed up anyway, and so they did, and I got healthy there, and so those were the conversations I had, because nobody ever believed I was hurt.
Right.
No. I was talking about when you were managing or being the, you had to deal with what it was like as a manager to deal with general managers and people who were decision makers when you were in that position when you interviewed with Frank Robinson.
Well, you know, it's always tough. You know, you tell them what you think. You know, you tell them that one of the biggest jobs for a manager is to make sure he gets along with the best players on the team. And has good relationship and relates, you know, the message that the ball club wants related to them and how you use them. And sometimes those interviews don't go too good.
Hey, Davey, I know you've been asked a lot about this, but again, you know, we're in Washington. You know, the Drew Storen issue back in 2012 and that's up 6-0 and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Do you have any regrets on any of that, leaving him in that long, that sort of thing? What would you do differently?
I told him to throw strikes. He had great stuff. You know, sometime he tried to get a little too fine. You know, probably the biggest game of his career he was in, and he just tried to do too much, and that got him in trouble. But he was outstanding most of the year, and I wouldn't do it. This is typical fan talk. You know, would you do anything different? No, I had thought of all the options, but when I made the decision to leave him in, and I was second guess bunch for pitching to the 8th hole hitter, they were going to pitch it to the next guy, and 8th hole hitter was, you know, I mean, if you can't get the 8th hole hitter out, you know, it's not like he's Henry Aaron up there.
I want to ask you a couple rapid fire questions. All right, just real quick, rapid fire. Favorite player to manage over all the years?
Barry Larkin. He was just a prince.
Biggest pain in the ass to manage over the years?
Too many to name, but I'd say Strawberry.
Strawberry. Oh, you know what? We kind of have a little weird relationship with Lenny Dykstra. One of the guys actually went over to his house. What was he like to deal with?
A nightmare, I would guess.
No, Lenny was great. I mean, he was a total competitor. I mean, I loved playing golf with him and McReynolds. And we'd go out, and Lenny would, even though he was like a 12 handicap, he'd play me $50 a hole. And, he couldn't beat me on any hole. And then he'd say, let's rest this hole. And then he'd play me for a couple hundred the next hole. He was just, he was all in, you know.
Right.
He didn't ask for any shots or nothing. So, I mean, I love Lenny. And I told Cash,
like,
and I said,
Davey, it sounds like he paid for your boat with all those rounds.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kidding. Hey, I told Cash, and I said, look, after we traded Mookie, I said, Lenny's going to struggle a little bit facing left-handers and right-handers, but I'm going to play him every day. And he's going to have a little rough year, but he'll still be on base over 33% of the time. And he said, well, we can't step back, so we had to trade him. But it cost me a lot of money, him going somewhere else.
All right, Davey. Always love having you on. Best of luck with the book. It's called Davey Johnson, My Wild Ride in Baseball and Beyond. Has forwards by Howie Rose and Jim Palmer.
Don't be a stranger, Davey. Thank you.
Okay, guys. By the way, this money all goes to my wife's charity as to support our scholars and underprivileged young girls. Just wanted to get that in.
Very nice.
Very, very cool.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Davey. Really appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
Same here. Take care, guys.
Okay, buddy.
Bye.
Always enjoyed talking to that guy.
He's a character, man.
He's a lot of us run monkey kill.
One of the rare perks that we had is, you know, we always complain about doing the dinners or whatever with the Nats. And
Davey was awesome.
Davey was like, you're literally sitting down with a legend. And, you know, he'll tell you anything. He'll
and
tell
that
you great
for me
strawberry
personally,
good stories.
It was kind of a surreal moment because my dad, when he came to this country, lived in Baltimore. And I grew up most identifying favorite team, Baltimore Orioles.
Right.
And that was like one of his guys. You know, I didn't grow up with Davey Johnson and the Orioles of the 60s.
One of your dad's guys was
Davey.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe I'm real close to monkey kill.
we should play that every day.
Yeah.
It's funny how JP asked about who's the biggest pain in the ass. He goes, too many names. Daryl Strawberry. He couldn't get that out quick enough, which I love. That's why you booked Davey Johnson.
All right. Michael Jenkins was at the arena last night soaking up the atmosphere of the Capitals' advance to the Stanley Cup Final. He will join us next from NBC Sports Washington here on the Junkies.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Going to be joined by Michael Jenkins, anchor for NBC Sports Washington. Shortly, he was at the arena last night.
I don't know about
the
you
atmosphere
guys.
Atmosphere was lit, as the kids say.
I'm starting to crash.
I was just thinking to myself.
I'm crashing.
That, you know how some
4 hours
sometimes
of sleep.
People say you can ride
it's
a wave?
Catching up to you.
Yeah. I was thinking
I'm crashing.
Head, you can ride the wave to the bed and take a long nap.
Plus, we had the champagne.
Yeah, but you
that
know
didn't
what?
Help.
Jenks is going to lift us up. Even though he's sick and he's battling, he's going to lift us up.
I just
he'll lift our spirits.
He just tweeted that he's usually not even up at this point. What time does Jenks usually wake up?
That's probably, 11:30, something
what a
like
life.
That.
Dude, we used to have that life. I remember when we worked at night.
Wait till you have kids, Jenks. That'll change.
I'm a jerk.
Does By he way, not have kids yet?
There's nobody on the planet happier, first of all, that the Caps are advancing to the Cup Final, but that the Cup Final is in Vegas instead of Winnipeg than Jenks. I know Jenks, and I know Jenks likes him some Vegas, so he's going to be lobbying hard to be sent out to Vegas, and I'm sure NBC Sports Washington is going to want all that content. Talk about the Caps winning it and the matchup coming up with the Golden Knights and their improbable run to get where they are.
First of all, they mentioned to me a couple days ago, my boss, if the Capitals win, we're thinking about sending you to Vegas. And I just kind of held my breath and acted like, that would be a good idea. I didn't say anything. Anything except, that'd be a great plan for hockey. But, it's such an improbable run for these guys. But we were talking last night, and throughout this entire run for the Caps. At first it was, how are they going to beat Columbus? They're down 0-2. They're not going to come back from that. And then it was, how in the world are they going to beat the Pens? We know the history there. And then here they were on the cusp of being eliminated against the Lightning. And, we've talked so much. We've been conditioned to talk about what the Caps can't do. And I said this last night, maybe it's time to start talking about what they can do. Because every time we present an obstacle or we come up with this idea that, they just can't do this, they do it. And I think they've pretty much proven now that they can win it all. They're talented enough. I know Vegas is really good and they're really fast. And it's going to be strange to see Fleury in net and Nate Schmidt back there. I still hate that we lost him. I think it's going to be a great finals. And I really think the Caps, the weird thing that got me was right before game six, the game they obviously had to win, and Braden Holtby is such a head case, and you saw him walking into the arena and he had this goofy grin from ear to ear, and what the hell's wrong with these guys? I mean, it's like bizarro Capitals, but I think once they finally beat the Pens, it was such a gorilla off their backs. They thought, that's it. Let's just play some hockey and nothing else matters. And so now the pressure doesn't bother them like it used to. I kind of think they enjoy it now. So I think we're in for a great finals and I absolutely think they have a chance to win it all.
Talk about the scene last night. You were there at the arena. I saw you interviewing people who had never been to a hockey game before and they decided to watch the big TV last night. People were climbing poles. What was it like?
Well, yeah. Now, one lady said, this is my first hockey game. Well, it wasn't technically a hockey game. It was a hockey game on TV. But,
right.
That was her first hockey experience. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. This is the first time you've ever been to this arena to see anything hockey-related. And what does she see? She sees a Game 7 where the Capitals dominate and advance and to the Stanley Cup Finals. But it was like that. I do know for a fact I was inside the arena, and they only had one half, like just the lower half of the arena set for fans. That's all they expected. And half of the arena, you would walk around and it would say no entry, no entry, no entry on every single entrance. And fans just kept piling in, piling in. And finally, they just had to take those signs down and just let everyone in because people just kept filing in. So it was so much more packed than I think even the people at Capital One anticipated. And then, of course, afterwards, I mean, it was just absolute mayhem. And it was really just a bunch of love. And so many people were just who have followed this team for so long, have been waiting for a moment like this. And it was this mixture of pure joy and almost just being incredulous that I really can't believe the Capitals did it. So I was out there for, oh gosh, at least a couple of hours. I didn't even go live until well past midnight, but people were climbing things, but everybody was really on the level and really good about it and just celebrating in the right way and just filled with this incredible feeling that it's really hard to describe, but man, there were a lot of people who were ready to let those 20 years of frustration go.
Speaking of the 20 years, what was Jenks doing 20 years ago when the Caps last made their Stanley Cup run?
You know, that's a good question. I was actually in my second year in TV, and I had just finished working in Boise, Idaho for 6 months, and then I just gotten hired in Austin that same year. So I was in Boise for 6 months, got hired in Austin, and I mean, guys, I knew nothing about hockey. You have to understand, we didn't even get the Stars in Texas until, 1992? Which is when I graduated from high school. So I didn't grow up with hockey at all. I knew nothing about it. I just knew, oh, that Wayne Gretzky's the great one. Yeah, I mean, I knew absolutely nothing at all. So it was completely foreign to me when I first got here. Now it's totally different. But 1998, I remember that happening for the Caps, but it didn't really resonate with me until the years of frustration. And I thought, oh my God, like I've been here since 2004 and I've been frustrated over and over and over and over. I really can't imagine if you're a Capitals fan and you've seen this over and over and over since 1998. In fact, a few Redskins fans stopped me, and they're not even hockey fans, and they said, listen, it said this town used to have parades. We're not hockey fans, but this town needs this. This town deserves this. And I think that's the feeling from everybody.
How about you getting get well wishes from the fans on the glass at Capital One Arena?
That was really amazing. I was super flattered by that, you know, that people would actually step up and do that. I was blown away. But they're probably not going to be pleased with me now because I probably started a mini epidemic hugging so many people last night, as sick as I am. So there's probably going to be like malaria going around or something terrible, all because of me, all because of the high fives and handshake. But it was worth it. I've really been flattered and blown away by the fan support, not just, you know, me being sick, just in general, there's just a real camaraderie down there when you spend so much time down there around the fans and everybody's in it together and everyone knows that they all have that shared experience. Like, yes, I know that disappointment. I remember that excitement. I know how nervous you are. And so I think that's part of it.
Joined by Michael Jenkins on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Of course, you can watch him on NBC Sports Washington. If you watch him, you know, Jenks is into skits and bits.
Of course.
He likes skits and bits.
He's an entertainer.
How would you grade EB's Porky Piggin bit that's going on right now? I don't know if you're aware of this. You're talking to Eric Bickle right now, and he is Porky Pigging it.
I think that's an A-plus bit.
Gotta do it. Hey, listen, if you want to see a picture of your
folks.
If you wait, when you can say to someone, hey, EB's Porky Pigging it, that alone, I feel like, is worth an A-plus.
Listen, Jenkins, you can always join in. If you want to tweet a picture of your underwear and pants on the ground, you can do that.
You know what? I may just do that. I may just join in the Porky Pig of
this. We're asking everybody to do it. Thank you. And then you can have victory buns.
Yeah, so go ahead and
prove it. I'm sure his wife wants him to stay a million miles away. He's sickly. He's patient zero that we're talking to on the phone right now.
Right. Well, when you get better?
I'm going to go in today for like 3 or 4 hours, and then I'm honestly calling in sick for. My wife was really not pleased with me last night. I mean, I've been legitimately sick, and a couple days ago, I couldn't stand, and she's a Rangers fan. So as a plea last night before I walked out the door, she goes, hey, if you stay, I'll cheer for the Caps. I was like, all right, that don't do that. Like, that's a clear, like, you're just throwing stuff out there now. So I'm hoping to lay low, and then, hey, man, who knows? Like, you know, a couple days, they may say, Jinx, you know what, we're going to send you to Vegas, and then all bets are off. And I don't know how in the world I'm going to make it through a week of that without getting sick.
You're going to get
all
sick all over again.
Because the last time
There's no way that's not going to happen.
The last time we saw you was at spring training, and you were heading to Vegas, right, straight from spring training.
Yep. He was.
Yeah,
did
was.
You end up a winner on that trip?
What's that?
Did you end up a winner on that trip?
Oh, man, I'm so stupid. I mean, classic Vegas. I think I was telling Cakes about this, where I was down a couple grand, and I was like, oh, man, I'm so dumb. And finally, that last day, I thought, no, it's time to go. It's time to go. And so I went out, and I started playing four-card poker, of all things,
yeah.
And I won it all back.
Oh, my God.
I know, and I won it all back, and then I don't know, I was having such a good time. Yeah, and, you know, you're having such a good time, and I had a table to myself, and then, you know, the waitresses are coming by, and they're like, hey, everyone says you're the nice guy who's tipping people. I'm like, oh, well, I'm having a good time, you know, tapping my fingers, I'm getting drinks, you know, and then I lost about half of that, and I was back down again, and finally I called it a night.
I got half of it back anyway.
I got to have it back, but, you know, that's classic Vegas. They just keep feeding you the good drinks, and then you kind of black out the end, and then you wake up, and you're like, why did I do that?
Hey, but how great is it when you hit, like, those 30-to-1s? Those are great, like the 3-of-a-kinds or whatever, the 4-of-a-kind. It's so
They're
great.
All sucker bets, but when you hit them, you feel
like a genius.
You know what? I'll say this story. One time when I was in Atlantic City, the biggest one I ever had, and I was sitting at a 3-card poker table, which don't play 3-card poker. Yeah. It's terrible. It's the worst odds in the casino.
Right.
You should never play that game. But I was in Atlantic City, and I was playing 2 hands, and I was sitting, and I was hammered. Oh, out of my mind.
Right.
It was a buddy of mine, and I was winning so much, he just would sit next to me just so I could lean up against him and keep playing. So he was like, you got to keep playing. So I'm just leaning up against him and keep playing. And so I kept winning, but I was playing that bonus bet, you know, like you were talking about.
Biggest sucker bet in the casino. Go ahead.
Oh, it's terrible. So finally, but I kept hitting it, and so I'm playing 2 hands, and I'm already up like, I don't know, probably $2,000 or $3,000, and it pays 30-to-1, and I think I put I was either 100 or 200 down on the, I think it was 100 actually, on the bonus bet. And I look at my cards, and I lean over to my buddy, and I go, that's a flush. And he shakes his head, and his eyes get big, and he goes, that's a straight flush. And when he, because I was so drunk, I didn't notice, but that paid $3,000. So that was awesome. I mean, I finally had to roll out of there, almost fell out of my seat, and I won like $8,000. That'll never happen again, because it's the dumbest game ever.
Jake, very nice.
Great story, though.
Hopefully you take that luck with you to Vegas, and hopefully some of it rubs off on the Caps when they face the Golden Knights. We hope you get better, man. We appreciate you
taking
some
time. Thank
you,
buddy. Appreciate it.
We know you're not 100%, but thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, always great talking to you guys. Have a good one.
Yeah,
all right,
you too, pal. Man.
All right. Good stuff. Good Jenks. Stuff from Jenks.
Like Neil Greenberg said, he's a man of the people. He goes out with his mic, gets a lot of great interviews, great content. So I'm sure you're going to see more of that going forward as the Caps travel.
Doesn't it feel good, by the way, to do this type of show?
It feels so good. We've been talking about this the last couple weeks. For so many years,
people say, you guys love trashing the Redskins. You guys just love trashing the Wizards. You love trashing the Caps.
No, we don't. It's just what we've had to do.
Yeah. It's been our
job.
This
is so much more fun.
Right.
And people respond better to it.
Yes, of course.
Way better.
Hey, have you gotten any Porky Pig picks?
Really, only one or two. Really? I'm really surprised. I mean, a ton of people saying that they're doing it.
I'm sure you got the one from Rom last night.
Did you get the Rom?
No, I didn't get the Rom one.
Oh, it was disturbing.
I almost tweeted it, but I didn't want to.
He said he didn't want it out there. Yeah, his wife like begged him.
He just wants the 80s.
Why is he sending it to us if he doesn't want it out there?
He wants personal 80s.
The truth is, he does. His wife doesn't.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
a little bit scared of her.
If Marina wasn't there as the filter, it would have been tweeted last night.
The only thing, I just don't want the guy to get fired.
Rami,
you know, I mean, I would feel responsible.
Don't have that picture on the internet. You look terrible. This is Marina. Right. Sounds a lot like your Ovi, Kicks.
Right.
Sounds very similar.
Well, they're both from Mother Russia, right?
They are both from Mother Russia. That's correct.
Did you just send it to Valdez?
I just showed him, yeah.
How come Valdez didn't get it before?
I don't know. I guess I'm off the list.
You're out.
Rami,
Ben. The best part is if he's...
Yeah. What do you see when you zoom in? Because I didn't.
Robbie Banner, you should not
be that
thimble.
Do you see his little thimble or something?
His hang lows.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it a show?
I never zoomed in.
Drabby did zoom in.
Yeah.
Robbie Bear loves.
You see the potato.
Gravity.
Yeah, gravity.
Gravity. Oh. Rob's getting up there.
I guarantee the grooming's not good.
No, it's terrible. So great.
All right, I'm running on fumes, but we could do one more segment, right? At least one more segment. Where the Caps fans are leading the way. How does it feel this morning? Are you wearing pants? What are you doing to celebrate? Give us a call, 800-636-1067.
Come fly with me. Let's fly. Let's fly away.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Taking your calls now. Caps advance the Stanley Cup Final with that 4-0 Game 7 win. It was very sweet. Ovi scores early. Burakovsky scores 2 goals. Holpe, another shutout. Let's go right to the phones. What did you do to celebrate? How do you feel? Did you porky pig it? Did you get victory buns?
I like that Braden Holtby waited until this point to start a shutout streak. I'm personally a big fan of that.
Mm.
I'm enjoying that.
All right, let's go to Russ in Hampton. He came up big these last few games, there's no doubt about it.
Yep.
Russ, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Hey,
I don't want to take up a whole bunch of your time because you got callers that are going to be talking about Caps and hockey and all that kind of stuff. One thing I want to say to you guys is that I lived up there for a long time, and you guys have entertained me day in and day out. You are great at what you do.
Thank you, buddy.
And I just wanted to take 5 minutes out of my time.
5 minutes?
Just to tell you how great you guys are.
Let's go ahead and do that. Let me just sit back here. I'd like to hear that. Let's go ahead.
Right up to 950.
Don't lean too far back, Eric.
Yeah, go ahead. Let me hear. Talk about it. Talk about how fun we are.
EB put his sweats on. He's all right.
You guys are crazy. You guys are crazy. But listen, I'm telling you, I even had to buy an Amazon device so I can get your program again. Because I moved out of the area.
Nice.
That's just how in tune to you guys I am.
Nice.
And you guys are great at what you do. And I thank you so very much for what you do day in and day out.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it, Ross. All kidding aside. Thank you, buddy.
And for those people that move, radio.com.
Yep.
It's an amazing app now.
Why is somebody saying that they can't get it overseas?
Because they can't at this point.
So you can't go to a WJFK.com or whatever the hell it is and get it?
TheFanDC.com? I think you might be able
maybe
that
you can't
way,
get the app.
I think
but
maybe
why
not
can't?
On the app.
I don't know. I'm not
you say
guy.
That like you know.
No, because I used to hype up radio.com. Stream us anywhere.
That's then United I was told States.
United States only.
Oh, all right. So why not just hit the website? Forget about the app.
I think the website should work.
Might be able to do that.
Yeah. So just do that.
That's your workaround.
I mean, yeah, I mean, there are workarounds here,
people. The new and improved TheFanDC.com.
All right, let's go to Cowboy Todd. Cowboy, what's up, buddy?
My texting buddy.
Hey, that is my texting buddy. Oh, man, it's just a wonderful day. You just can't ask for a better day. And radio.com, that saved my life last night because, unfortunately, I didn't have cable. I
by
guess
the way,
they didn't get my check for my cable
Cowboy.
Bill.
Oh, my gosh.
My man,
he didn't pay his
my
bill.
My man Matt Valdez was imploring people to send their victory buns videos to me at my Twitter.
That's I the first
that
one.
Since you have my phone number, I was expecting Cowboy Todd victory buns video. Never appeared.
What would you do if he actually, let's just say he sent you
forward
a 30-second video.
I forwarded immediately to
watch party.
No, but what if he sent a text, like you're on the bed, you get this text, or Amy's on the bed, you're in your chair,
sure,
you're watching, and you get all of a sudden a video from Cowboy Todd.
Well, I mean, I think I would have to watch it for curiosity's sake. Right?
Yeah, of course.
We've got videos, but I don't know if she wants it out there. I don't know. It might help her sell her books more if they know how silly it is. I don't know.
Right.
I texted you like 15 minutes. I was like, oh, he's tied up. I went to Victory Buns, And right in the middle of it, I see a Texan Cakes. I said, hold on, baby. Then right in the middle of action, I'm texting Cakes from her back.
That is hilarious.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
We really did create a thing. I'm telling you, I got at least a dozen Victory Buns tweets from guys last night.
I wasn't trying to interrupt your coitus, yeah. But I guess I did.
Oh, it's okay. She understand it was you. So yeah. We're all good.
You took precedent.
It's worth it.
Cakes
worth
is more it. Important than buns. Yes.
All right, Cowboy. Well, consider sending us one of those videos so we could just, I don't know. I don't know what we would do with it.
Cowboy, you won't go to Cowboy, will you go to Vegas for either of the road games?
If I got a free plane ticket, I'd go out there.
Dude, he can't pay for cable. Yeah. He's going to pay for a flight to Vegas?
You never know. He could have a caps slush really? Fund set aside.
He didn't pay his cable bill? He's got a good job.
He has 100 kids.
He has a good job, though. He really
has
does.
Like five baby's mamas.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But I figure he doesn't pay him. I figure he's if he's not a deadbeat dad, who is? All right, let's go to Mike in Fairfax. Mike, what's up?
Hey guys. So speaking of deadbeat dads, I've been a season ticket holder with my dad since 1994, going back to the old building.
Nice.
And he moved to Florida, but we just booked flights for him to come up for game 3 and 4.
Very cool.
So very excited about that. And I do want to welcome everybody to the bandwagon. There should be no hockey snobs in this town.
This
is,
of course not.
This is for the city, not just for the Capitals.
Yeah, I actually think it's for me. I think it's for me. All right. Thank
Enjoy
you, Mike.
The games,
appreciate it, buddy.
Pops.
Thanks.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Jump on the bandwagon. There's plenty of room.
Let's go to Grant in Orlando. Enemy territory. Pretty close to it. A couple
Amen.
Hours away.
What's up, Grant?
Grant, what's up?
Amen, bro. I am deep within defeated, heartbroken, devastated Central Florida enemy territory. And, baby, I want to gloat. That's how I'm celebrating. I asked a buddy of mine, what are you going to do today? He's a Lightning fan. You're devastated. How are you going to get over? He goes, I'm going to get me a cooler Natty Light, and I'm going bass fishing. It's beautiful, man. It's beautiful to see it on the other side. I've got the B-52s 53 miles west of Venus going with 18-year-old Scotch. I'm having a good day.
Grant, I hope you're wearing your red all over Florida today and repping Caps Nation, my friend.
Yes, brother. Yes, brother. Last night, went to a bar. Only other guy there was in the number 8 Ovechkin red jersey.
Very good.
Beautiful, man.
That's great. Great stuff. All right, thank you, Grant.
By the way, Cakes has loved the video of the guy doing the hot lap in his home.
It's a great video.
Do you want to give him some shine? Who is he?
I'd have to pull it up. And I think I stole it from, I think Russian Machine Never Breaks may have retweeted it.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy who's doing the hot lap through his house, a la Barry Trotz, and we can't play it on the air because he definitely drops an F-bomb. I could watch that 1,000 times.
Mm.
He was into the game. It was after, I think it was at least after Andre Burakovsky's, maybe after his second goal. It's only a 12-second video, but it's worth checking out. I retweeted it last night.
Very cool.
Let's go to Money Metal Cakes to check it out.
Let's go to Patrick calling in from Richmond. I'm not sure he's wearing pants. Patrick.
Hey, good morning, junkies. How are you?
What's up, Patrick?
What's going on over there?
Well, I'm telling EB I'm proud of his shortcomings, so I'm really glad you're sitting there today like that. But when you retire, you sit around every day Porky Pigging it.
That's all, folks.
Yeah. I'm just following
even
your lead.
The postman, when he delivers a package, I never know for sure who's at the door. So he's seen me that way, and he said, I don't blame you. I'd be Porky Pigging it, too, if I was retired. So have a good
so
day. By the way, I told my wife when the Lightning were ahead of us 3-2, I said, look, they only got six games to win the cup, and they've still got 5. So don't give up hope.
Right.
And my cat went screaming last night because we yelled every time they scored. And congratulations to Ovechkin. He deserves it. Finally, they're playing as a team.
They really
playing
are.
I think as I saw, a team.
I think I saw a stat that John gave us, John from Mechanicsville, that 17 different guys have scored goals for the Caps during this playoff run. That's pretty ridiculous.
Spreading it around. I like it.
I can't confirm that, but let's just go with that. 17 different Caps have scored goals.
It's awesome.
During this playoff
obviously
run.
Obviously led by Kuzi, who's got 24 points, 11 goals, 13 assists. OV now with 12 goals, 10 assists, 22 points. Those guys have been leading the way, but, you know,
big
like
time.
DSP, one goal. Burry with his first two goals.
Let's go to Tom, Hinesville. Tom, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, what's up, Junks? Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
it's all been said, but, you know, Ovi had the game winner. Holtby had two shutouts in a row. Tom Wilson had that amazing knockout. Just amazing. I really want to give a shout-out to Tyler from Tampa. See you next season, buddy. Better luck next year.
That's
yep.
it?
Yep, you're not going to hear much more.
A lot of hate
Tyler
towards from Tyler from Tampa. Yeah,
yeah. He did call in at one point, right?
He did?
And then he bailed?
He hung on for like 30 seconds and then said, this is a bad idea, probably.
Really? Yeah. I wasn't going to get more. What do I care? Repping his team?
Listening to our show?
It didn't bother me.
Well,
Caps fans get so thin-skinned. It's okay. Whatever.
He was kind of a jerk.
He was kind of annoying.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember. What was his worst transgression?
Well, his big thing was he was very confident that Tampa was going to win four in a row.
Right, right, right.
Here's his biggest transgression.
Puck luck for the
He's
cap,
a Lightning fan. That's his biggest sin.
Right. All right. I don't want Valdez to cry. So let's go to Bruce. Bruce, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies. How are you, my friend? Do you have an announcement? Bruce? Oh, poor Bruce.
Oh, what a tease.
Valdez's weekend is
he's melting down.
Finished.
See if you can find him. All right, let's go real quick. Let's go to Chris in Arlington. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, Chris?
Hey, buddy.
Man, last night was an amazing experience, dude.
Sounds like you hit the wall, too. Right?
I think everybody is at this point.
Did you go to bed? Did you sleep?
Well, here's what... Here's what happened, you know, after Cali steps and everything, I went back to my friend's house and then waited for my phone to charge because it was dead. And then I drove back at home at like 1:30 and then I was.
Thank you. We can't end on that note.
I was telling Kate to get the gas face.
There's no such thing as the gas face anymore, JP. It's the orchestra.
I still believe in the gas face.
You have to go with the
times.
You know
what? I still believe in Hidden Harrington, too, but it's a new thing, apparently.
You can shake it up.
What are you going
to
do?
All right, fun show today. It'll be fun to listen to the station all day. Grand Danny next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.